السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
الله الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخنا.
We should continue with the class.
Yes, يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, the last set of discussions were about Fadl al-Kabir. They are about the virtue, the excellence of elderliness or seniority. Those who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have age and to be upon the deen have received great blessings from Allah. A man will be upon Islam for 20 years, for 30 years, 50 years, 70 years, for 80 years, observing Salat, the obligatory Salah, observing Nawafil, fasting in Ramadan, fasting Mondays and Thursdays, making Sadaqah all the day, making Hajj, making Umrah, paying Zakah, saying good to the people, connecting family ties. You will see that over the years, lots of tremendous rewards would have accumulated for this individual, which would mean that his age is a thing of virtue, is a thing of favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this individual. So we came discussing the virtues of seniority and old age. We also discussed the virtue or the importance of showing respect and dignity for elders, Ijlalul Kabir. And we read the narration from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Qais, where showing respect and dignity for the elders is mentioned to be from the aspects of showing respect and dignity to Allah. The one who would respect Allah and show veneration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the aspects of doing that is to show respect and show dignity for elders. And from the aspects of the rights of the elders over the younger ones is that يَبْدَعُ الْكَبِيرُ بِالْكَلَامِ وَالسُّؤَالِ. The elders are the ones who should start talking first. They should be the ones who should start asking questions. Elders should be made to speak first. And then we came to Al-Imam al-Bukhari's titling a chapter as إِذَا لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمِ الْكَبِيرُ فَهَلْ لِلْأَصْغَرِ أَنْفِ يَتَكَلَّمْ إِذَا لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمِ الْكَبِيرُ. So when the elders do not speak in the gathering, since they are expected to speak first, the story that elders should speak first came from the ruling that elders should speak first came from the hadith of the passing away of Abdullah ibn Sahal, when his younger brother Abdurrahman wanted to speak. The Prophet told him to stop and allow the elders to speak. So if the elders do not speak, فَهَلْ لِلْأَصْغَرِ أَيَتَكَلَّمْ, should the younger ones speak? And what we read from there was the hadith of Ibn Umar. And the conclusion was that yes, the younger one will speak if there's a pressing need, if what he will say is something that is absolutely necessary and should not miss the entire community, then the younger ones should speak. But if it is something that may not be so absolutely necessary, then the lessons that the elders have taught and that is part of our deen, is that the youngest or the younger ones should remain silent. From the rights of the elders over the younger ones is that taswidul akabir, we make the elders to be our rulers. We make the elders to lead. And we read from there the farewell message of the eminent companion of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Qais ibn Asim radiallahu anhu, who gave that heartfelt advice to his children upon his passing away. So you would see all of these have to do with how does the young person conduct himself in the gathering when there are elders. How does the young person conduct himself in the gathering of elders? Allow your elders to speak first. So we should all understand from this that it is not part of the Sunnah at all. It is not from Salafiyya at all that the younger ones are the ones raising their voices against the elders, telling the elders, keep quiet, listen to me, let me talk, let me make my point. Hey, all of these that we find to be common amongst those who ascribe to following the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam upon his sunnah. This is not from the sunnah that the younger ones shout down their elders. Rather, the elders are the ones who should be shown genuine dignity and esteem. And all of these will come from the aspects of showing respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah follows with the chapter about how then should the elders relate with the younger ones? How should the elders relate with the younger ones? We had read those narrations, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, hadith of Abu Umama al-Zahili, where the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa minna man lam yarham sagirana wa la yarif haqqa kabirina. So we come to the issues about how does the elderly, how should the seniors, how should they show genuine mercy and compassion for the younger ones. The first thing that Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah is talking about here was a very, very big practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the young ones. So he says, Babun yu'taf thamarata asdaru man hadara min al-wildan. Yu'taf thamara asdaru man hadara min al-wildan. From one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to do by way of showing mercy to the young ones is that يُؤْتَى الثَّمَرَ أَصْغَرُ مَنْ حَضَرَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ. Whenever the fruits, whenever the date palm fruits were harvested, the first harvest, it used to be brought to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So here there's a chapter ahead in يُؤْتَى الثَّمَرَ أَصْغَرُ مَنْ حَضَرَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ. That fruit, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start by giving it to the youngest person amongst the children who were available. If there were children, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was brought some fruits. If some fruits were brought to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he started sharing, giving out the fruits to the people. By starting with the youngest person, he will start alayhi salatu wasalam with the youngest boy or girl in the gathering. The scholars say this is from the aspects of showing a rahmah, mercy to the young one, because when the fruits are brought, the mind of the young are more connected to the young boy or girl connects his mind. They want to have a feel, they want to have a taste of it. So by way of satiating their thirst and showing them mercy, the Prophet ﷺ, when fruit was brought to him, ﷺ, he started giving that fruit to whoever was the youngest child in that gathering. When fruit were brought to the Prophet he wants to provide the people the same fruits to have a taste of it. The Prophet started with the young ones. Why? He will start with the youngest person in the gathering by way of showing mercy, by way of showing compassion for that little young boy or for that little young girl. So Imam al-Bukhari titles it that Babun yu'ta thamarata afdaru man hadara min al-wildan. The fruits should be given to the youngest of the children who was present. The youngest of the children present in the gathering, that is the person who should receive the fruits first by way of showing mercy to the little young ones. And the hadith regarding that came from the narrations number 362 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musa, Qala Haddathana Abdul Aziz, عن سهيل بن أبي صالح عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا أتي بالزهو قال اللهم بارك لنا في مدينتنا ومدنا وصاعنا بركة مع بركة ثم ناوله أفضل من يليه من الولدان. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا أتي بالزهو قال اللهم بارك لنا في مدينتنا ومدنا وصاعنا بركة مع بركة ثم ناوله أصغر من يليه من الولدان. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله stated that report from his Sheikh موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي رحمه الله. The Sheikh of Bukhari in this hadith is موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah had reported a number of ahadith from this Imam Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki from the previous narrations that we had read. He said, Haddathana Abdul Aziz. And Al-Imam Abdul Aziz in this report, the Shaykh of Musa, he is Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Hazim. Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Hazim, and he is reporting from the eminent scholar of Islam, Suhail ibn Abi Saleh. Suhail ibn Abi Saleh, their father Abu Saleh, was a well-known companion of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the father of Suhail. His name was Zakwan as-Samman al-Zayyat, the father of Suhail, who is called Abu Saleh. His name was Zakwan as-Samman al-Zayyat. Zakwan as-Samman al-Zayyat, the well-known student of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who was blessed with young children, most of whom were scholars. Abu Saleh, the father of Suhail, from his children who were very learned, was Saleh himself. So he was Abu Saleh Zakwan. He had a son called Saleh. This Saleh ibn Abi Saleh. That's how he was called amongst the scholars. Salih ibn Abi Salih. Then we had Suhail ibn Abi Salih. We had Abdullah ibn Abi Salih. We also had Muhammad ibn Abi Salih. There were about four of them. We had Salih, we had Suhail, we had Abdullah, we had Muhammad. All of them, Abna'u Abi Salih. So there was Suhail ibn Abi Salih, there was Abdullah ibn Abi Salih, there was Salih ibn Abi Salih, and there was Muhammad ibn Abi Salih. So this hadith was from Suhail, from his father, Abu Salih, whose name was Zakwan al-Saman, rahimahullah, the student of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. But this hadith has been widely reported from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. From amongst those who reported this hadith from Zakwan, the student of Abu Huraira, in addition to Suhail ibn Abi Salih, was Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. Al-Imam Malik also reported this hadith. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, ibn Anas, Abu Abdillah al-Madani, he also reported this hadith from Zakwan al-Saman. Likewise, Al-Imam Muhammad, Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad al-Darawardi, is well known. Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad al-Darawardi has also reported this hadith from Abu Salih, Zakwan al-Saman, who was reporting it from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And in addition to Abu Huraira, Anas ibn Malik has reported this from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the report is so common in Sahih Muslim. We can go back to Sahih Muslim of Al-Imam Muslim. The narration is well reported in Sahih Muslim of Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, from the hadith of Abu Huraira, and from the hadith of other among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it that they have reported? They said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam idha utiya bizahwi. Kana Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam idha utiya bizahwi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, one of his regular practice, Kana Rasulullah, something he did regularly, was that idha utiya bizahwi, when az-zahu is awwal tamr, the first set of fruits that were harvested. Az-zahu are the first set of fruits that were harvested. That's why they also refer to as what? Bakura. The bakura are the first set of fruits that were harvested. So if the people of Medina, when they harvest the first set of dates, fruits, the date palm, when they harvest the fruit, the first set of the fruits that they have harvested, they would bring it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the report in Sahih Muslim, it says, Kana nasu idha ra'aw awwal al-thamri ja'u bihi ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Kana nas إذا رأوا أول الثمر جاءوا به إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The people, إذا رأوا أول الثمر, when they saw the first set of fruits that were harvested, جاءوا به إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. They will bring those fruits to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When they brought the fruits to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, فَإِذَا أَخَذَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this increment occurs in Sahih Muslim. فَإِذَا أَخَذَهُ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When the prophet collected the fruits from them, he would pray alayhi salatu wasalam. He will make dua alayhi salatu wasalam. He will say, Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, barik lana fi madinatina. Show us your barakah, provide us your blessings. Fi madinatina, in our Medina. Oh Allah, bless us in our Medina. Grant us prosperity in our Medina. Grant us plenty in our Medina. Grant us abundance in our Medina. The ulama, rahimahumullah, say, this is evidence that the ulama, the individual, observes dua for himself and the people. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever the first set of fruits were harvested, it was brought to him. When he would collect it, he would make dua. Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, bless us in this our Medina, in this Medina of ours. Oh Allah, bless Medina. وَمُدِّنَا وَصَعِنَا. Oh Allah, bless our mud. The mud is a container with which they measure their foodstuffs and their staples, the fruits, things they sell, are largely measured using the mud. And the equivalent of the mud is for the individual to put his two palms together. If you put your palms together, what the two palms will contain of food, whether rice or beans or wheat or millet or gari or something like that, that is the quantity of a mud. The mud is that the individual puts the two hands together. This is the mud. And it was a well-known means of measurement amongst the people of Medina. So they have a container that is made for that, that will contain one mud. The mud is the two hands put together. That's one mud. And that was why when the water, the Prophet والسلام, will employ for wudu was described, it was mentioned to be what? One mud. So the water the Prophet would make wudu is what? One mud. Prophet made wudu with water of what? One mud. And when he made ghusl, as in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, we shall come back to it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He used four amda'ad. He used four of them. When he makes ghusl, he used four muds to make his ghusl. And these four moods is what is referred to as what? One saw. And that is the same thing we remove for Zakatul Fitr. When we make Zakatul Fitr, each person is due. What is due upon each person is what? The saw. And that saw has what? Four moods. Meaning that if you put your hand together four times, that is what is due upon you for Zakatul Fitr. That is what is due upon you for Zakatul Fitr, as it occurs in a lot of ahadith, including the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. The point here is that the mud is four times the mud will give us one sa'a. So the Prophet was praying for their. The ulama say, actually, this dua is for those things that they measure, what we measure. Oh Allah, these things we measure to sell, provide your blessings in it. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, bless us in our Medina. Wa muddina. What we measure using the mud, oh Allah, bless it. Our food, our rice, our beans, our gari, whatever, everything we measure, oh Allah, bless it. بركة مع بركة. Oh Allah, add your blessings to it مع بركة, together with the blessings that it already has. Medina has blessings already. Oh Allah, I beg you, add more blessings to Medina. اللهم بارك لنا في مدينتنا ومدنا وصاعنا بركة مع بركة. Oh Allah, بارك لنا في مدينتنا. Bless us in this Medina of ours. ومدنا وصاعنا. What we measure, oh Allah, bless it. When we use our mud, oh Allah, bless it. When we use our sa'a, oh Allah, bless it. Barakatan ma'a barakatin. Oh Allah, grant it blessings upon blessings. We can see the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. So if you go to Medina today, you see blessings upon blessings. The first step of the blessings itself that you see is with Islam. He says, Allahumma barik lana fi Medina. The first set of blessings that we see with Medina is with his masjid. The Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not as big, not in the 1/100th of what we have today. But now, the Prophet's masjid, alayhi sallam, would occupy close to 1 million people at a single time. About 1 million is less. Blessings upon blessings. Barakatan ma'a barakatin. The masjid became expanded in every direction, in the front direction, in the side direction, expanded blessings. So Medina is a blessed place. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make dua. Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, bless us in our Medina. Wa muddina wa sa'ina. When we measure things, bless what we measure. When we measure, bless it. Barakatan ma'a barakatan. Make it be profuse, abundance, blessings, plentifulness upon blessings. In the report in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will still say, Allahumma inna Ibrahim abduk wa khalilik. Allahumma inna Ibrahim عبدك وحليل وخليلك. Oh Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, عبدك وخليلك. He was your servant and your beloved friend. ونبيك. He is also your prophet. وإني عبدك ونبيك. As for me, أنا عبدك ونبيك. I am your servant and your prophet. وإنه دعاك لمكة. As for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, دعاك لمكة. Ibrahim begged you, supplicated to you for Mecca. وإني أدعوك للمدينة. As for me, I am begging you for Medina. Ibrahim begged Allah for Mecca. إنه دعاك لمكة. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam begged Allah for Mecca. And we know the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for Mecca. That occurs in the Quran, Surah Ibrahim. Allah says the dua was that Ibrahim was begging Allah for Mecca. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةَ النَّاسِ تَأْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. The first dua of Ibrahim for Mecca. اِجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةَ النَّاسِ. Oh Allah, make the minds of the people be connected to Mecca. Connect the minds of the people to Mecca. So it becomes, Mecca became a place that whenever you visit it, once you land in your country, you want to return. As you land at the airport, you are thinking about your next visit returning to Mecca. That is from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He begs Allah, oh Allah, faj'al af'idatan nas ta'wi ilayhim. Make the minds of the people, make it a mind that will always like to go to Mecca, 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 Mecca. Even the one who has not gone, many of the human beings, they have in their mind, oh Allah, if you bless me, I'll go to Mecca. If you bless me, I'll go to Mecca. As poor as the man may be, unable to afford the journey, He's still be begging, Allah, Allah, make it easy for me. This love for Makkah was from the dua of who? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa innahu da'aka li Makkah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had prayed to you, had begged you to bless Makkah. And the first thing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam after Surah Ibrahim had asked Allah for Makkah is that faj'al afidatan nas ta'wi ilayhi. Oh Allah, make the hearts of the people be inclined towards Makkah. Warzuqhum min al-thamarat. The next dua, warzuqhum min al-thamarat. This place is a desert. So Allah, warzuqhum min al-thamarat. Bless them with fruits. You can see the dua. He is begging Allah for something. They don't have it. And at the time, it's a desert. Who would go there? Who would live there? So say, okay, direct the people to love to come here. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Bless them with fruits. So that's why when you go to Makkah today, you see them in different forms. They may not have been planted in Makkah because the land is scarcely arable. But Allah commands that they should be brought from all across the world. Whatever kind of fruit the people of Makkah need, they get it from anywhere in the world. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. This is from the dua of who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam said, وَإِنَّهُ دَعَاكَ لِمَكَّةٍ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam begged you for Makkah. وَإِنِّي أَدْعُوكَ لِلْمَدِينَةِ. As for me, I am begging you for Medina. بِمِثْلِ مَا دَعَاكَ لِمَكَّةِ. I ask you to give Medina the like of what Ibrahim had begged you for Makkah. Meaning that, make the minds of the people be directed towards Medina. And then provide the people of Medina samara from all over the world. So these places became places where you love. As we love to go to Makkah, we also love to go to Medina. If we come to Makkah, we have not come to Medina, we are feeling incomplete. We have to go to Medina. Why? That's dua of Ibrahim. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةَ النَّاسِ تَأْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. That he begs Allah for Makkah. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam begs Allah for the same thing to come to Medina. Do the same thing to Medina. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also begs Allah, do the same thing for Medina. That's dua that Ibrahim made for Makkah. إِنِّي أَدْعُوكَ بِمِثْلِ مَا دَعَاكَ لِمَكَّةِ. I beg you, grant Medina the like of what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had prayed that Allah should bring to Makkah. Wa mislihi ma'ahu. And I also ask for a double of it. Along with it, give him double. Ibrahim, whatever he asked for Makkah, I ask for those things and the double of it, like it, in addition to it. I beg you for like of it, in addition to it. So that's why some of the ulama say you find a lot of blessings in Medina, the like of which you might not find in Makkah. In terms of things, there are things you might find in Medina by way of this prayer being answered. There are things you find in Medina you may not find in Makkah because of this dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, اللهم إن إبراهيم عبدك وخليلك ونبيك وإني عبدك ونبيك وإنه دعاك لمكة وإني أدعوك للمدينة بمثل ما دعاك لمكة وإني أدعوك للمدينة بمثل ما دعاك لمكة ومثله معه وإني أدعوك بمثل ما دعاك لمكة ومثله معه. I ask you for the like of what Ibrahim had begged you for Mecca. Bless Mecca. Bless Medina. Bless Mecca. But give me the blessings of Ibrahim that he begged you for Mecca. Bring it to Medina and the like and the double of it. I ask you you for the blessing. Ibrahim asked for it in Makkah, and the double of it. Give me in Medina. So Medina is a blessed place. Medina is a blessed city. It has the dua of Ibrahim, and it also has the dua of Muhammad alayhi salam. So that's why when you come into Medina, wallahi, you feel the serenity, you feel the calmness, you feel the coolness, you feel the homeness, as if you are at home, and extra, you feel relaxed, you are happy, your mind is full of joy and delight. You're making a lot of salat to Allah Nabi alayhi salam. This is what you benefit when you come to Medina. For every salat you make, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, from the blessing of the Medina, it said, salatun fi masjidi hadha afdalu min alfi salatin fi ma siwahu illa al-masjid al-haram. Salatun fi masjidi hadha afdalu min alfi salatin fi ma siwahu illa al-masjid al-haram. If you observe a salah in this masjid of mine, it is better than 1,000 salah. The ulama say whether that salah is nawafil, from the nawafil or from the fara'id. So if you observe raka'at al-fajri in Masjid al-Nabawi, it has 1,000 times more reward, more than 1,000 times more reward than Rak'at al-Fajri you observe in any masjid in the world except Masjid al-Haram. If you observe Salat al-Fajri in the Prophet's Masjid in Medina, it has more than 1,000 rewards than any other Salat in any other masjid except Masjid al-Haram. If you observe Salat al-Tarawih in Medina, you have 1,000 rewards better than any other Tarawih you observe any other place in the world except Masjid al-Haram. Except Masjid al-Haram. So you would find that Medina is the place that is full of blessings. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he would make the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina wa mudjina wa sa'ina barakatan ma'barakatin. Allahumma إن إبراهيم عبدك وخليلك ونبيك وإني عبدك ونبيك وإنه دعاك لمكة وإني أدعوك للمدينة مثل ما دعاك لمكة ومثله معه. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام asked for a lot of blessings in Medina. Many of the brothers who come to Medina, you find this certification. You find ease, calm, joy, delight, hope. Find all of these. Your mind is calm. And then you see a lot of things of blessing when you come to Medina. Many of the ulama gave a lot of explanations regarding this narration. So when you do things, try to do it in a blessed place. So sometimes people ask us, why do you always like to go to Medina, Medina, Makkah, Medina? We are going to the cities of blessings. Many of the brothers in the past, when they want to spend their holidays, they travel to US, they travel to UK, Europe, and all of it. We don't have any narration from Allah to say these places are blessed places. People only travel. But instead of going to these places just for it, why not go to Medina? Why not go to Mecca? Spend time in a place that is blessed. Everything that you do is blessed. When you observe Salah in the masjid, it's a blessed Salah. You have a lot of rewards. If you stay 10 days in Medina, you would have observed Salah 5 times in a day. So 5 times in a day times 10 days is 50. So look at the tremendous reward that's meant for you. People ask, what are you going to do? These are the blessings we go to seek. When we go to Medina, we go to seek plentifulness from Allah. We go to seek bounties from Allah. We go to seek favors from Allah. because there's the dua of two from the Rusul of Allah. There's the dua of Ibrahim, the like of him, and more than it by the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's pay good attention to going to these places of blessings. You want to marry, go to Medina, make dua, be hopeful, make umrah, go to Medina, spend time in Medina. When people want to make a honeymoon after they get married, they travel to UK, they travel to Dubai, why not go to Medina so that you seek blessings? Why not go to Mecca so that you seek blessings? You pray for your marriage. Whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever the people had the first set of fruits, they brought it to him, and he begins to make dua, make dua, make dua. Why not start your own marital life with this instead of going to places where you don't have a guarantee for blessings? So come to Medina, you find a lot of blessings in Medina with your wife. You stay in a place. If it is for 2 weeks, you stay for 2 weeks. Make umrah in Mecca, you come back home. You'll be hoping in the blessings of Allah. You make dua together. May Allah accept these works and these acts of worship. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, ثُمَّ نَا وَلَهُ أَصْغَرَ مَنْ يَلِيهِ مِنَ الْيُدَانِ ثُمَّ نَا وَلَهُ أَصْغَرَ مَنْ يَلِيهِ مِنَ الْيُدَانِ. After making this dua, ثُمَّ نَا وَلَهُ, then he hands it over to who? أَصْغَرَ مَنْ يَلِيهِ مِنَ الْيُدَانِ, to the youngest of the children who are with him. The children will be with him. After he makes this dua, he hands it over to the children. There are a lot of blessings. There are a lot of points of benefit. From this is that you see the Prophet making dua alayhi salatu wasalam so profusely for Medina in the sight of young people. This is to teach the young people that you make a lot of dua. It's by the way teaching young people. You make dua. Your reliance is upon Allah. Your hope is with him. Your expectations are with him for goodness. So this is from the things that elders should teach children. Parents, make dua. Make your children see you making dua. Make dua for your children. Make them see you make dua for the home. Parents, make dua, heads of homes. Make dua for your home. And make your children see you making the dua. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was making dua for where? For Medina, in the presence of children. In the presence of children, make dua, make dua, make dua, make dua. So that they know that the way to live this life, a main part of it is making dua. Just like we teach them to earn, a main part of this existence is that we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs and for blessings, subhanahu, from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he finished the dua, thumma na walahu, that fruit that was brought to him, he now begins to hand it over to the youngest ones in the gathering. The ulama say this is by way of showing mercy to children when we're in the gathering. Show mercy to children, be merciful to children. And from the aspects of that is the next chapter that we read. I think we can quickly take that hadith before we call it the day today. Babu Rahmati Sagir. The chapter about deliberately being compassionate with children. That will come under hadith 363. Babu Rahmati Sagir. The chapter about showing mercy to children. رواه الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عبد العزيز بن عبد الله حدثني ابن أبي الزناد عن عبد الرحمن بن الحارث عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف حق كبيرنا. We read this hadith a number of times. But the point here is that there is deliberate attention. He is deliberately inviting our attention that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has warned us that it is dangerous for us not to show mercy to children. It's a major sin. The ulama say it's from the major sins. From the major sins, from the kabira min al-kabair, is that the elders are not merciful to children. From kabira min al-kabair is that those who are elderly do not show mercy to their younger ones. So if you are older than him just for one day, from the sunnah is that you must show mercy to him. If you don't show mercy to that young one, you are not following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In that regard, and the ulama said, this expression shows that not to show mercy to a young boy or girl. I was talking about elders showing mercy to children. We have said it that the children should not speak in the presence of the elders. We had the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and his father. They were in a gathering together. When they left the gathering, Ibn Umar had an answer to the question that the Prophet asked, alayhi salatu wasalam. The father asked him, why did you not give the answer when we were in the gathering? Ibn Umar said, I was shy. I was shy because you were there, Abu Bakr was there, and the elders were there, so I did not give the answer. I am sure perhaps if it were in our own community, that young boy would take a knock on his head. You should have answered the question. Those kinds of attitude are not appropriate. Let us not be unnecessarily coarse. Let us be merciful to children. The ulama say one of the reasons why elders must show mercy to young ones is that the young is still young in his mind, is young in his experience, is young in his age. He knows very little from this world, so he's prone to errors. He knows very little. He's not exposed. He knows little. When you compare the young one to the elders, young ones know very little. So when they speak in front of the elders, they are prone to error because they are young. They have little experience of life. So this youngness and the shallow approach of the young people to existence is the reason why elders should be calm. They should be merciful to them that he did not know. He doesn't know they don't talk like that. Oh, he doesn't know people don't act like that. Oh, he's a young boy, that's why he's living like that. He does not know. Unfortunately, we're in a generation where the matter is the opposite. The young ones think that the elders are ignorant. In the community today, the young ones think that these elders, they don't know anything. That is from the inexperience of the young boy. He thinks that the elders do not know. He thinks that the elders are not exposed. He thinks that the elders, you know, their knowledge is small, you know, they are slow. When the matter deserves a gentle approach, the young one thinks that, oh, if you follow the route of the elders, it should be slow. Because the elders will not take a decision until they have thought about it deeply and widely. The younger one doesn't think about it deeply and widely, so he thinks that the elders are slow. Then he gives him a tag, Baba, go slow. And so on, because he thinks that life is about hastiness. And the messenger told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that hastiness is from where? From shaitan. Shaitan pushes the people to become hasty. For elders, they want to take the step one after the other, after due consideration. After due consideration, they take a step. After due consideration, they take a step. But the younger ones, he does not think about it well. And that's why you find people between age 35 down. When people become 40 and above, there are so many things they did in the past, they would still did not done. From 40 and above, or from 45 and above, when you look back, you feel that, oh, I did this. I wish I had done it like this. I wish I had done it like this. Because at that time, you become more knowledgeable. You become more experienced. You know this world more. You know the people more. You know how to speak more. You know how to present more. Because life itself has taught you lessons. Life, apart from the courses we take to improve ourselves, the readings we make to improve ourselves, life itself will teach you lessons. But the young one, at the time when he was young, he thinks that he knew it all already. He does not need to be told. He does not need to be advised. But when he becomes older, even from 45, when he looks back at his teenage age, I remember one of the, inshallah, known brothers. He said one of the things he feels shy about himself was that when he was younger, there was a quarrel in the house, he broke two vases. Now when he thinks about it, he's shy. He's ashamed of himself. So that is how life is. When you become older, you look back, your ineptitude, your little knowledge, your little experience becomes clear to you yourself. But the issue that at the time when you were young, the elders were seeing it. They were seeing your youngness. They were seeing that, oh, you didn't think about it well. You probably did not even measure the consequence of that action you are taking. So that's why they will be. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Rahman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
You had muted me and you were making taslim to me. So I wouldn't hear you. You wouldn't hear me, rather.
Okay.
Okay. The point here is that the elders should deliberately show kindness to the young people, because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa minna man lam yarham sagirana. From the rights of the young ones is that we should show them genuine mercy. That was why the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever the fruits were brought to him, he will give to the young ones first. Whenever the fruits that were newly harvested brought to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the ways of showing kindness to children is that he started with the children. So you have some things you want to distribute. You have elders, you have younger ones. Everyone wants it. Perhaps in the month of Ramadan, when we want to distribute things in the house, you see young ones come, elders come. Don't say kabir, start with the young ones. Because starting with the young ones here is from the aspects of showing compassion and mercy to them. You want to serve food. The elders in the house are waiting. The children in the house are waiting. You can start with the children. Because that is from the aspects of showing mercy to them. Their minds are attached to it. Their minds are connected to it. Their attention is lit. Perhaps you even want to sew some clothes for the children or for the home in Ramadan or Eid, as it's with the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is from the Sunnah to take new clothes in these times, the times of Eid. You want to do it one after the other, start with the children. You start with the children. Then you come to the elders. So these are things where the Sharia encourages us to start with children, like food distribution, fruit distribution, things that both the elderly and the young ones, they have their attention. You can see the young ones will be thinking, we want food. Don't say, hey, start with the elders. No, we start with the young ones by way of showing them mercy and compassion. I think this is a major point. Inshallah, in the next class, we'll mention other aspects of showing mercy that was common with the, in the Sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, with respect to children. How else did the Prophet manifest respect, compassion, mercy, kindness towards children? Inshallah, we'll read about them in the next class. I hope that this is clear. We can stop here today for the questions that we may have. Abu Yusuf, Abu Abdurrahman, and Abu Amir.
Naam, ya Shaykhana, Hassanullah ilaykum.
Amin wa iyaakum. We have a question with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the first question, yes, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, what do we do if elders in charge of the mosque isn't following Sunnah?
The first thing you do is education and enlightenment. this is one stage we leave aside to take other negative actions. You start with enlightening them to be a conditioner. You take a time out, maybe on Saturdays, on Sundays, or Mondays, Tuesdays, take a time after Salatul Fajr, after Salatul Maghrib, or after Salatul Asr. You take the time out to educate the people. Most times we make mistakes of expecting people to behave in certain ways when they don't have the knowledge of it. You want the man to behave in a way, but he does not know how to do it. You want the carpenter to fly a plane. Because he's a carpenter, he should know how to fly the plane. You listen to a lot of lectures for you to learn the sunnah and know what the sunnah is about. You went to lectures. You listen to lectures on your phones. You went to series of programs over the years. And then Allah blessed you with that knowledge of the sunnah. That elder you are looking at in the community who does not know the sunnah, does he have the chance that you had? Is he going to be exposed to what you have been exposed to? So if you want to bring him to behave like you, you'll be unfair. You'll be unfair. If you expect him to behave like you, you'll be unfair to him. So the first thing to start with is explanation. The first thing to start with is enlightenment, education. Tell them clearly, in a nice way, with good wisdom, explain to them what they should be, and then gradually you expect some good results from it also, of course, when you make a lot of dua. But most young people want to start by effecting the change. It will not work. When the Messenger came alayhi salatu wa salam, he did not start to become the leader of the people, commanding them to do what he wants. No. Alayhi salatu wa salam, he started with enlightening the people and educating them and inviting them to goodness. If you start like this with a lot of dua, inshallah, you will find goodness in the masjid and how the masjid is managed. But if you want to start with making the elders to follow you, then you'll be blackmailed in the masjid. You'll be blackmailed in the masjid. And then you will hardly be able to have any positive impact in the community. I hope that it is clear about Yusuf, about Abdul Rahman. Can we go on with the next question? Can we have the next question about Abdul Rahman?
Abu Abdul Rahman, assalamu alaikum. You are muted.
Okay, Abu Amir.
Naam, ya Sheikh Anna.
Naam, go on.
And another question says, can we take a cue from Prophet's prayer to pray for our country?
Yes, it is one of the lessons. Because from the first things I mentioned about that hadith, the unfortunate thing young people do today is to curse their country. They curse their lands. It's unfortunate. It's because of the little knowledge of the young ones. So we have to be merciful to the young ones too when they curse the country, because they know very little things and they have very little experience about life. So from the sunnah is to pray for your country, pray for your community. You pray for your community, you pray for your country. Look at the Prophet alayhi salatu salam making dua for Medina. Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, bless us in this Medina of ours. The country, has it turned the country to a better place for us? When we curse the country and curse our leaders, have the leaders become better now? They have not. So it is not from the sunnah at all to curse the leaders. From the sunnah is that you deliberately pray for the leaders. From the major aspects of the sunnah is to make dua for the leaders. Make dua for the leaders. Make dua for your country. But young people now, because of little knowledge and a lot of emotional, not regulating how emotionally negative thoughts come to the mind, people just say and say, do a lot of things. For the sake of Allah, pray for your country, pray for your town, pray for the city, pray for your community where you live. Pray for the security of the place. Pray that Allah blesses the children who grew up in the community. And then for your country, pray for your home. It starts with yourself, then your home, then your immediate community. Oh Allah, protect us here we live. Make things easy for us. Bless our children. And all of these, guide our leaders in the community, and then in the state, and then in the country. If you go on to curse the country, you are cursing yourself, because those rulers are ruling over you. So if you say, Allah, may they never see good. So when they don't see good, that's not saying good will come back to you. So for the sake of Allah, let us stop cursing the country. Let us rather pray for the country by way of following the sunnah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam begged Allah for Medina. Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina wa muddina wa sa'ina barakatam ma'a barakatin, and so on till the end of that dua. Likewise, countries we live in. You know, originally the Prophet was not from Medina alayhi salatu wa salam. He came to live in Medina. So if you live in a country, you have a duty to pray for that country too. If you live in Saudi Arabia, you live in the UAE, you live wherever you may live. Beg Allah to make the place a place of ease, a place where Allah's deen will be things people depend on for daily life and all of these. Beg Allah for guidance for the people. If they are likely violent people, oh Allah, make these people come to see the goodness of Islam. Make good dua for the people depending on where you live. It doesn't have to be your own country. It also has to do with countries where you live in, because the Prophet was living in Medina alayhi salatu wa salam. Naam.
Now, another one says, is there any minimum Islamic knowledge a brother and sister must possess before taking of nikah?
Yes. They must know firstly about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his rights over them. You must learn tawheed properly. The rights of Allah over you. Allah who gave you life, who provide you everything you live upon. He gave you yourself. He made you. So he has the rights over you. Learn the rights of Allah over you so that you discharge that right appropriately. Most parents, people think when someone obtains a degree in engineering, that is when he becomes qualified to marry. No, it's not just about that. That's about how to feed a wife. Because that's the best of what you do with it. You feed your family with what you have learned. If it is engineering, if it is medicine, if it is accountancy, if it is carpentry, if it is tailoring, if it is hairdressing, and so on that you have learned, you employ that to care for yourself in the matters of this dunya. But the matters of both dunya and akhirah is that you learn the rights of Allah from you. The second thing you need to learn are issues of your worship. If you know the rights, now how do you fulfill them? Allah commands you to observe salah. How do you observe salah? Allah commands you to pay zakah. How do you pay zakah? Allah commands you to fast. How do you fast? Even the marriage itself, how do you marry? What are the rights of the man over you as a woman? What are the rights of the man over you as a husband? I say this a lot. People prepare for one single day of marriage than they prepare for the marriage that lasts forever itself. You have a marriage that perhaps you'll be inside it for 50 years, for 60 years. People don't prepare for it. But they prepare for just one single day of the event, one Saturday or one Sunday. They prepare for it. But the rest of the 40, 50 years they will live inside the marriage, they don't prepare for it. So prepare for your marriage. Learn about how to be a wife. Unfortunately, there are no courses in the universities about how to be a wife. Neither do we have courses in the universities about how to be a husband. So merely sending your children to the university to learn medicine and all this does not guarantee that they will be good husbands or good wives. So for the sake of Allah, parents, take out time to teach your children how to be wives and how to be husbands. What are the rights of the man over the wife? What are the rights of the wife over the husband? How do you relate with your relatives? And all of these, they are lessons that both men and women should learn before they go into the wide world of marriage. May Allah make our marriages easy for us. Abu Rahman, the time is fast spent. Can we stop here?
Naam, ya Shaykhana. Assalamu alaikum.
Anyway, we can stop here today, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair.